Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Taking Care of Your Health to Take Care of God's Business and a special interview with Dr. Glaze and Dr. Jerome Gloucester.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, pastor of Bethany Baptist Church, and also the pastor radio preacher here for the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We are excited to have you join us this evening. We have Dr. Jerome Gloucester, who is the CEO of Primary Healthcare Services here in Pittsburgh. He is a medical doctor and a member of Bethany Baptist Church. He has been with us for over 20 years, and we certainly thank God for his membership at Bethany Baptist Church. Dr. Gloucester, welcome to the program this evening.
Thank you, Pastor. Glad to be here.
Amen. We're going to talk about a subject that's near and dear to the hearts of many people. And actually, the topic that we're going to center our thoughts around is taking care of your health so that you can take care of God's business. So I'm going to kind of talk about it from the biblical perspective, and we're going to let you talk about it from the medical perspective. Okay. But as I look at 3 John, in 3 John, we see John writing, and he is exhorting a man by the name of Gaius, and he is identifying the fact that Gaius has been financially prosperous and also his physical prosperity. And he says that, you know, I pray that you would be in good health. And one of the reasons that John prays for him to be in good health, if we go back and unpack that passage, is because Gaius actually had a powerful ministry to missionaries. In verses 5 and 6, it talks about how he had ministered to people who were serving God. And as we think about how God wants to use us and how God wants to just allow us to be a blessing to others, if we don't have the health that we need. Now, I will say this, Dr. Gloucester, that sometimes God is glorified in sickness. You know, when we look at, you know, the fact that people have been testimonies to others, you know, as they have dealt with sickness. But for the most part, I think it's safe to say that God does want us to be in good health, and that God wants us to, you know, to be ready to do his work. And so, you know, he prays that that Gaius would be in good health. So as we talk about the idea of being in good health, you know, my mind goes back to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, where, you know, Paul told Timothy that bodily exercise profiteth a little.
That's right.
Now, you know, God doesn't necessarily want us to run marathons, and he doesn't want us to be world-class weightlifting champions. But in this idea of exercise, you know, Paul does say that it profits a little. He didn't say that it has no profit at all. He said that it profits a little. So as we talk about taking care of your health to take care of God's business, you know, what would be some of the thoughts that you would have about exercise?
Well, I think that what I would want everyone to realize is that I believe it's part of God's plan. Even in this passage that you mentioned, we're looking at exercise, but I think physical activity has been always a part of God's plan from the beginning of time. When we look back at Genesis, where, again, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, even before the fall, we know that, you know, work and by the sweat of his brow and you know, to eat, that was part of the curse. But even prior to that, God put them in the garden, and he gave them a job to do. He had them physically active in that garden to cultivate the garden and to work in the garden. So I believe God has had this as part of his plan from the beginning for our health. And we know that, you know, and from a medical perspective, that physical activity not only strengthens your body, not only can make you less likely to have high blood pressure and a lot of other illnesses, diabetes and what have you, but also that it decreases stress levels and causes you to release cortisol, which will decrease stress levels, and endorphins, if you will, that will decrease stress levels. And so that's going to even further lead to lower incidence of heart disease, all kinds of issues with your health that we know stress can contribute to, even going all the way to cancer and things like that. So that there's no question in my mind that God has always intended for us to be physically active, and that it would affect both our physical health and our mental health as well. And we, what we've done in this country is done the total opposite. We've decided to become more civilized and more technologically advanced, so we don't have to physically exert ourselves. Right. Yeah. And instead of spending, you know, 10, 12 hours a day getting a reasonable amount of physical exertion, which is going to keep us healthy back in the day, we now sit for 12, 16 hours a day and increase our stress levels and focus on things that often are unhealthy. We're not focusing on spiritual things for most of that time. And we just load our bodies up with stress and an unhealthy condition, leading to the diabetes, the hypertension, the high blood pressure with hypertension again, and mental illnesses as well that can lead to back to the stress, leading to cancer as well. Just all these things piling up on us that's totally unhealthy.
All right. Now, so just kind of a follow-up question to that. When you talk about exercise, what would you recommend as far as, you know, how many times a week and how long it should be, and maybe even what type of exercise that individual should consider?
Well, I think that where you can always start, that is if you're able to, is walking. And I've always found it to be a amazing thing that if you can walk and get out and walk for at least a half an hour, and I know that the sort of guidelines say, well, at least if you're doing it five times a week, but I think you want to look at all of these things as not being some sort of exercise regimen, but being a lifestyle.
Right.
Activity or lifestyle change. So I would recommend the goal being every day that you would walk for at least a half an hour. The thing that I find tremendous about this is that not only are you releasing those endorphins and decreasing your stress, but when I spend a good amount of time walking, I think intently, then we'll begin to focus on God. And especially if I'm able to get outside, I'll look up in the sky and I'll just sometimes say, wow, Lord, those clouds are beautiful. And I'll start and feel like then I'll hear God start speaking to me. And it's just a tremendous time that half hour can be where I'm getting physical exercise and I'm spending time with God.
Amen.
So yeah, I think walking is a great place to start. There can be other activities within the home, like whether it's if you're able to, if you have steps. We know that steps add an increased level of physical exertion, but those who are trying to achieve some strength as well in their limbs, that can be helpful. A lot of professionals will give you other exercise, whether it's certain calisthenics or things like that. Walking in place, I tell people, if you can't get outside, I have a friend of mine that's a bodybuilder, and at one point he couldn't get to the gym and didn't have access to a lot of things, and he told me for months what he would do is go down in his basement. He did have weights, but what he would do is he would walk in place for at least a half an hour every day to an hour. And I tell my patients, if you walk in place and you lift your knees up, you'd be surprised how much exercise you can get.
Right.
Another technique I've taught people to do is you know, they find themselves sedentary, they don't do anything, and then you don't just jump out there and try to, you know, as you say, run a marathon or try to get in shape right away. You can cause injury, and then you're down for the count, and then you right. don't want to get back up. I tell them, try something. Those of you who are individuals that do watch a lot of TV, and we tried it, you know, and pediatrics would ever tell people don't watch so much TV. Well, it doesn't work just to tell somebody don't do that. They're so used to that regimen or that activity, they get enjoyment out of it. I tell them, all right, do this, because I know you're going to watch your TV. While you're watching TV, I said, whenever the commercial comes on, play a game with yourself. Get up and do something. And whether that's the easiest thing, walking in place, but you lift your knees up, try to get them up as close to your waist as possible. And you have to continue to exert yourself until all the commercials are off right. and your show comes back on. And play that game with yourself while you're watching TV. Oh, there's another commercial. Right. I got to get back up. I'm going to do something. I'm going to do some jumping jacks. You'd be surprised how much exercise you can get, how much better you begin to feel. And I started even doing that back when I was in high school. I wasn't out of shape, but I was trying to get in better shape, and I'd tell myself every time a commercial came on, I would do push-ups, and got to the point where I could do 70 push-ups in a row. But it's things like that, looking for opportunities right. to exercise, as opposed to, you know, we become a nation of people that look for opportunities not to exert ourselves, right. try to do little as possible.
Yeah, but you know, that's a good alternative than going to the refrigerator.
Exactly. Yeah, commercials on, let me go get something else right, to right. eat, something unhealthy to eat. You're right. Yeah. That's what we do.
Amen. I'm here with Dr. Jerome Gloster. He's a medical doctor, also the CEO of Primary Healthcare Services in Pittsburgh, Primary Care Health Services
yes,
in
right.
Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
And we are excited to have him here. Dr. Gloster, you know, a passage of scripture that has always just impressed my heart about this idea of nutrition is when we go back to Daniel chapter 1, and we see that Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they were forced to partake in the king's diet, but they refused. And they asked the eunuch, who was the one that was trying to force them to eat the king's meat, if they could just eat, and I'm just going to put it in this term, if they could eat a healthy diet. Mm-hmm. And we see that they didn't eat the king's meat, which was, you know, probably not as healthy as what they were going to eat. And so they ate their, you know, nutritious diet. And after 21 days, that they were better than the ones who ate the king's meat. So mm-hmm. can you speak to us about the importance of proper nutrition as we, you know, talk about taking care of your health to take care of God's business?
Oh, absolutely. Again, I love the way God's word shows us so many of these things. Those who don't believe him keep finding out the truths in them, like scientists and physicians. But yes, we see in scripture, as you're pointing out, where a diet that's high in vegetables and additionally fruits and things like that, that they lead to a much more healthy body. We keep discovering all these incredible benefits in some of these superfoods, which are almost always plant-based or vegetables, if you will, and seeing how they decrease inflammation, decrease the likelihood of cancer. Things like broccoli and kale and a lot of other foods that are plant-based. And so when I had read that scripture as well, I said, see, here's God showing us this from scripture for thousands of years. Also, the scripture, and I keep reminding myself I need to look it up again to remember where it is, but where it says that the plant will be your medicine. So it's just blows me away how God reveals this to us. And as we see there, and as I'm saying, That not only is it going to lead to you having, we can break it down, plant-based diet, fruits, vegetables, you tend to have much better digestion, you're not, you know, getting things backed up, and we know that those toxins and things like that can affect you. Mm. More water, taking in much more water than most of us do instead of unhealthy sugary drinks and things like that. But those things are simple things, but Right. It's amazing how much they affect our health in a positive way and how much better we feel. We have much better, often a lot of us find that we think more clearly with that healthy diet as opposed to filling ourselves with processed foods and a lot of unhealthy meats Right. And things like that, like we see in the scripture.
Amen. We're here with Dr. Jerome Gloster, medical doctor, CEO of Primary Care Health Services here in Pittsburgh, and we certainly appreciate him taking the time to join us. Dr. Gloster, as we kind of wrap things up, I always think about that scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, where Paul tells believers that their bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. As we close the program, do you have any thoughts on that, you know, as far as our bodies being a temple of the Holy Spirit?
Well, I think all of this relates together with what God would intend for us and how would he intend for us to treat our bodies. He's given us this wonderful, as I became interested in medicine and watched this show as a child, called The Incredible Machine. Mm. This incredible machine with computers and all kinds of just incredible technology. When man tries to understand it, as far as your nerves firing off electrical impulses to move limbs and just amazing, awesome God designed this body. And yes, as you've stated, that he also says that now treat it as a temple, because it's the temple where I will abide in you, and that we see in scripture that it's called the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I believe that this just goes with everything we've been talking about, that God would intend for us to really take care of our body. I mean, the other scripture that I think about where he says, you know, no man ever hated his own body.
Right,
it's like,
right.
Unless there's something wrong, unless there's something wrong, you're not going to mistreat your body, but to the contrary, that you're going to love your body. You're going
right.
to, treat it right. But I think that we've gotten into a mentality and a system of where we've got things twisted, and that may be part of whether it's sin or the enemy or just we ourselves left to ourselves, where we consider treating our body right, mistreating it and loading it up with too much food and not exercising and sitting around. But no question that all of this, I believe, helps to contribute to a healthy spiritual life, that as you're taking care of your body you are decreasing those stress levels with activity and things like that, there's no question that I feel as though you begin to have a greater affinity, if you will, for hearing the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And you're not, if you will, distracted by these ailments and these illnesses and the stress and the things that you're constantly concentrating on. And as I said, that if you can relate that physical activity as well to a time with God, to try to spend some time with him, that there's no question that then we can have temple time, if you
Amen.
Will, with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, certainly we want to thank you for joining us on the program. And we are having a Facebook Live event, which the announcer will give you a little more details as we close out the program today.
Right.
So it's been a blessing to have you with
Thank
us.
Thank you, Pastor. Likewise.
Amen. God bless you, radio friends.
The Apostle John wrote to Gaius saying, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health." That's from the third book of John, chapter 2. Good health is something most people want to experience. One way to be on the road to good health is to take care of your body. Join Dr. William R. Glaze and Dr. Jerome Gloucester, a medical physician, as they discuss the topic, Taking Care of Your Health to Take Care of God's Business, on Anchored in Jesus Facebook Live, Tuesday, March 26th at 7:30 p.m. We're looking forward to seeing you there. Now let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Taking Care of Your Health to Take Care of God's Business.
In our scripture that we have before us today, we see that the Apostle John is writing a letter to an individual named Gaius. And in this letter to this individual named Gaius, he says this in 3 John, verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospers. Father, we come today, and Lord, I pray that the message that you laid on my heart many years ago, Lord, if it hasn't been impacted in the hearts of someone here today, Lord, that you would touch their heart and that you would allow them to become more sensitive and aware of the gifts that you have given them. Lord, I pray that you would bless this message today and that you would use it for your honor and glory. In Christ's name we pray, amen. As I look at the passage before us, if you want to pull out your notes today, you know, we have 3 points that I want to bring out. And the title of the message today is Taking Care of Your Health to Take Care of God's Business. And the first thing that I want you to look at is the goal of prosperity. Now, when I'm talking about prosperity today, I'm not talking about filling your pocketbooks with money and fine cars and big houses and nice clothes. I'm not talking about that. But he makes it clear in the passage what John is saying to this individual named Gaius. First of all, John prays that Gaius may have financial and physical prosperity. Wow, what a prayer. What a prayer. Look what John prays. Beloved, I wish, or you can put the word in there, I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health. That's a powerful prayer. I mean, that's a prayer that I wouldn't mind having prayed for me, that I would have prosperity and that I would have good health. Now, John prayed for Gaius's financial and physical prosperity because look at this. Now, this is why he prayed. And this is important. And this is what I want you to see here. And if you don't get anything else out of the message this morning, I pray that you wouldn't miss what I'm getting ready to say right now. Look at verses 5 and 6. He says, Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers who have borne witness of thy love before the church, whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou do well. Look what he's saying to Gaius. He says, Gaius, you have been a faithful brother, and you have ministered to the brethren and the strangers. That when people came by, and John was interested in getting this gospel out, just like the Apostle Paul was, he was interested in getting the gospel out. And what John would do is John would send missionaries or people who were carrying the gospel to the church where Gaius was at. And guess what Gaius did when they came? Gaius met their needs. Gaius was one who was able to house those who were ministering for the Lord. And so John just doesn't pray a general prayer for Gaius to be blessed and have health and have prosperity, but John is praying for a reason. And the reason that John is praying for Gaius is because he wants him to have prosperity, to be able to take care of the financial needs of those who come by, and that he would be in good health so that he would be strong and able to be able to take care of those who came by. Wow. What is the message to us here today? God wants us to be as healthy as we can so that we can serve him. God wants you to have your health and strength so that you might be able to serve him. And God wants you to have financial prosperity so that you can use it to his honor and glory. The goal of prosperity. Look at it says here, the garland of prosperity. John indicates that Gaius is wearing the garland or the wreath of spiritual prosperity. Throughout John's letter, he talks about Gaius' spirituality. Look in verse 1. He says here, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Well, what's one thing we can say about Gaius is that John identified with Gaius in his love for the truth. That Gaius knew the Lord Jesus Christ, John knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And John was excited that they were able to share in this ministry together. The second thing we see here is that Gaius, look at this, his soul was prosperous. Verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Gaius was a spiritual man. Gaius was a man that loved God, and he had a soul that was rich in the things of God. Where's your soul at today? Do you have a soul that's rich?
The Apostle John wrote to Gaius saying, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health. That's from the third book of John, chapter 2. Good health is something most people want to experience. One way to be on the road to good health is to take care of your body. Join Dr. William R. Glaze and Dr. Jerome Gloucester, a medical physician, as they discuss the topic, Taking Care of Your Health to Take Care of God's Business, on Anchored in Jesus Facebook Live, Tuesday, March 26th at 7:30 p.m. We're looking forward to seeing you there.